your friendly neighborhood agitator. This is The Struggle on KBOO Community Radio. I am lucky enough to be here today with two very, very special guests. You two are the first guests that I've had that have not been adults. So I'm very happy to have y'all be on the show, specifically because there is so much potential in activism of young people. Do not count out the kids. Y'all are more woke than anybody on the whole.
Facts.
So if you all can talk a little bit about the No SRO PDX movement, talk about why you started. And for the record, SRO, for everybody that's listening, is a school resource officer. It is when the school contracts with the police to monitor and surveil students. And of course, this is in the name of safety, except we know that there tends to be a gap in between the safety that they intend and what is rendered, especially when you're talking about kids of color. So with that, please talk about how your movement came to be.
Okay, well, I'm Sophia Lucas. I'm a senior at Jefferson.
Oh, I'm Sarah Steele. I'm also a senior at Jefferson.
She's being humble, guys. She's actually the student body president.
Student body president.
Own that. I'm that, too. With Isaiah Balso.
So, yeah, we are members of the hashtag NoSROs PDX campaign that was started by students. It's kind of an alliance of students from all over PPS mm-hmm. who heard about, you know, the SRO agreement and just didn't sit well with any of us. It put a really bad taste in our mouth, you know? So,
we actually first heard about it in one of our classes that we have during the day because a teacher heard about it and realized that her students knew nothing about this when the school board specifically was saying that they wanted student feedback. She realized that nobody knew what this was. So we had to learn about it in class. Mm-hmm. And then, well, we're at Jefferson High School, which is a predominantly students of color school, one of the only ones in Oregon. So we care a lot about this subject. Right. So we all kind of rallied together and we wanted to have our voices heard at the school board meeting about the agreement.
Right, the movement started in feeling underrepresented. I remember everybody was upset. They were like, why don't we know about this?
Mm-hmm.
So originally that was what started it, was being left out of the conversation.
Even though they claimed they wanted us to be a part of it.
I was going to say, what do they say about student involvement before they rolled it out? What do they have to say for themselves?
We asked them and we were like, why were students not involved in this before? And one of the representatives said, I don't know. We said, right.
Is this on the record?
It was during, we actually had them, because they first set up a meeting for student interaction to take place at 3 p.m. at, I think, the district office. And mm-hmm. knowing that PPS students, most of the schools, get out at 3:15.
Sure, yeah, it's really messed up. Go ahead, you can go.
They actually facilitated a meeting to happen at Jefferson and at other PPS schools during lunch. Mm-hmm. So we had a little meeting during lunch with them. But
right. I just want to shed a little light, though, real quick, on the fact that that meeting that was held by the school board to supposedly engage students and engage the community, it was held at 3:00.
Yes.
Jefferson gets out of school at 3:15, and we are the closest located school to.
We wouldn't get there until like 3:45.
Exactly, we would have had to skip school to even be involved. Now, what about the other schools
in
Portland that aren't as close to the mm-hmm. board?
Is this the one that they took video of that
no.
when they
this
took
was,
the
this
vote?
This was before that.
Before
it was a week, I think. Before that, we found out. We found out.
So
I think
this was
2 weeks
hearing?
Before it was just. It was supposed to be. Some representatives from the board and Captain Hager and I think another person from the police department coming to talk to us and hear our opinions mm-hmm. and listen to how we feel about the agreement.
Luckily, our principal, Margaret Calvert, at Jeff, we expressed to her how we felt, you know, why is this meeting that's supposed to engage us set up in a way in which we will not be able to, you know, get there. We will not be able to get our voices heard in like a easy manner like it should be.
So she helped facilitate getting those representatives to Jefferson.
Right, and we had a meeting during our lunch. It was a few days before.
I think we found out a week before, and then we had crafted a statement. We had the meeting, and then we crafted a statement, and then like 2 or 3 days after our initial meeting with representatives was the actual school board vote.
Right, so we had like 4 days to prepare.
Right, yeah.
So when I was looking at the video, and I hope people look at the video, they can look at your YouTube, No SROs PDX on YouTube. And I hope that people look, and in fact, I'll be sure to link your YouTube channel in the KBOO notes so that people can see it online on KBOO. What it looked like to me was that they were actually ignoring y'all. Yeah. When you were going up to the mic, like, they were looking at each other, they were looking at their phones, looking at their shoes.
They didn't like what they were hearing at all.
They went as far to gavel Sarah away.
Yeah, they gaveled me and they turned off my microphone.
Oh, because you went over, 3 minutes?
We didn't know we were only getting 2 minutes each.
Oh.
That was the first thing. Me and Isabel Mace McClatchy, we were reading the statement that students at Jefferson had prepared. And we thought everyone else had 3 minutes each. And then Isabel said, me and Sarah are going to be sharing our time. And that's when they let us know you have 2 minutes each. And it went over the time.
And they gaveled you.
Yes, and turned off my microphone.
So how many other people spoke?
A lot. We had, I think, three or four other representatives from Jeff.
Good.
Jensen, Sears, Maya...
Right,
and Miss Machuca, some others.
It was a good handful of people, and then you know, us along with you know, other parents and stuff of other students from Grant or Madison. There was a lot of teachers who were concerned.
And our original plea was to just delay the vote. We expressed our concerns with having SROs. And the amount of money that was going to be spent on this. And all we said was, please delay the vote. We want to learn more. We want you guys to engage us more. And they didn't delay it.
Okay. So without incriminating them, or if you want to incriminate them, you can. Actually, I'm not going to tell police, y'all. Why do you think they're trying to push it through? Why do you think?
Okay, well, I mean, if we really want to think about this in a factual manner,
yes,
right,
please.
This agreement, we've had SROs in schools for 20 years, okay? We're not going to try to front and be like, we don't want cops in schools. No, we already have cops in schools. The agreement's being amended is the thing. Whereas before it was funded by the city, now that's money that's going to come out of the school board's budget.
PPS is going to pay the Portland Police Bureau.
Right. So that's $1.2 million that's going to be allotted to the Portland Police Bureau every year for over the course of 5 years.
Well, you know, they're really hurting financially.
Right. Right. I bet. Right. It's funny because Captain Hager said herself at the PPS board meeting, she said, I do believe that the program is something that the police bureau could cut to save costs.
Yeah.
Exact words. Captain Hager herself.
Okay, so then what is the benefit? What is their perspective?
Continuing to police children.
Sure.
They continue to have control. They continue to have the power.
I mean, if you follow the money, I want to know who's
whose
pockets exactly is this total of $6 million going to be going into? Because I know it's not going into my education.
Right, exactly.
It's not going to go into my, you know, my little sister's education. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go into, you know, my 12-year-old neighbor's education. Mm-hmm. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, follow the money. That's a very good idea. I don't know if you have any accounting classes. But
well, you know, maybe we could get one with that $6 million.
I'm sure you could get a lot of accounts with $6 million. No, I absolutely think following the money, like just as a general rule, if nothing else, mm-hmm. in terms of a campaign, trying to get research about something, understanding somebody's motives, follow the money. Mm-hmm. Who's cutting checks? Who's getting the checks? That will if it doesn't tell you everything, it'll tell you almost everything. Mm. So can you talk about how y'all went from just speaking at the meeting, right, to actually launching the campaign after you got rejected? Like what, how did that actually go? So you went from the meeting and you all got rejected. They voted you down at the school board meeting. And then what? What happened?
Well, immediately, obviously, was heartbreak.
Oh, I cried. I cried at the meeting because I really believed. I was like, we are here. They want to hear from us. I believed they wanted to hear from us. And our statement was so good. And it was so genuine. And it was facts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that they could vote this down. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the school board. Listen to your community. Listen right. to your students.
Money speaks louder.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, of course the initial reaction was heartbreak, disappointment, but we, you know, quickly shook that off. Mm-hmm. We were thinking, what are next steps?
Yeah.
We kind of came to the consensus. I remember we had several other meetings at lunch. The group had dwindled a lot because, mm-hmm. you know, there was just so many,
so much discouraged,
yes. you know?
I'm sorry.
That was actually hard.
It was tough.
Right, showing up to the next meeting and like people were just like, yeah. I'm over it. Like they won.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of came to the consensus that we needed to fight.
And get more schools involved.
We needed to get more schools involved. Our two main things were fight the SRO agreement.
Yes.
And get more student representatives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I think overall, our two main goals of our campaign when we finally did start, you know, our short-term goal right now is the SRO agreement. Yes. We want to get that off the table. And then our long-term goal is hopefully get more student representatives mm-hmm. on the board, whereas because there used to be 9.
Yeah.
And now there's only 1 to represent all of PPS. Yeah.
And that was the 1 dissenting vote.
Yes.
Yeah, he made it very clear that he supported the students that were speaking at the yes. meeting, but his vote doesn't count, I don't think.
Well, I mean, it goes against the majority.
It's an advisory. Okay. It's an advisory
vote. Oh, is that right? It doesn't actually count.
It does not actually count. He has an advisory vote.
Okay.
So all he could say was, please listen to these students, mm-hmm. and they didn't.
So. Wow. So I got a question from my friend Red on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners that don't know, I live stream this show on my Facebook. Oh my God, they're in the studio right now piecing the camera. Thank you. Please do that. So we got a live question from my friend Red that said, did they only have SROs at Jefferson High School?
They have SROs, I think, in every school.
In every school.
An okay. SRO gets a cluster. So we have one SRO, and he has, I think I've heard, like 12 schools that he goes around to. So I think he's only at our school for like a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that the agreement affects. It's going to affect their
They're now there 5 presence. Days a week.
They're going to be, whereas now it was like 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay.
Now they're going to be there 5 days a week.
Okay, mm-hmm. So increased presence. Have y'all been researching like at other schools things that have happened with SROs with other students?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
Okay, so I haven't done much, right? But there is a video. It's called Fit the Description.
Fit the Description. Okay.
And I believe it's on YouTube.
Okay.
It's called Fit the Description, where they interview, I believe, an SRO at Roosevelt. And for those of you who don't know what Fit the Description is, it's like where police are going to be able to
profile.
Right, profile, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a pass to profile people.
Yeah.
if somebody says, you know, there was a robbery in this neighborhood. If a police is just, if, you know, cops show up and they just see somebody on the street who they think, well, maybe that person did it based on nothing, really.
Sure.
Based on
the color of their skin, for example.
Right. Not saying that that is the agenda, but hypothetically.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the SROs were taking on that sort of fit the description in some schools.
Agenda, yeah.
Okay. All right. So for people that would say to you, and actually, y'all have gotten some interesting responses.
Yeah.
So actually, before I go into asking a hypothetical question, why don't y'all, without cursing,
okay,
say some of the things that people have said to y'all?
All right. Well, I'm just gonna pull up the YouTube channel.
Okay. Yeah. There's so.
Oh, plug your YouTube channel. Your YouTube and
no
your
SROs PDX, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Capital that's the YouTube
N,
channel.
SRO capital PDX.
Yeah, yep. And that's YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.
That's mm-hmm. Okay. The same.
There was an article that was on. Oh.
No, go ahead.
Oh, there was an article that was on K2, and that's where at least my parents saw a lot of the negative comments and just absurd comments.
Like what?
Like people below, this is why people below a certain IQ shouldn't breed. They have children like this. Yeah, stuff like that. Stuff about calling us gentrifiers. And it's like, this is what happens when people come from California. And I was like, I have lived here every year of my life.
Well, that's an interesting perspective.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I mean, gentrifiers bring more police. Like, generally, like, the,
yes,
the like part of gentrification is hyper-policing.
Yes.
So it's very interesting.
Mm. Obviously, okay. They're uneducated. Obviously, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. And that's what's funny about it.
Yeah. Right. I pulled up the YouTube comments.
Okay.
Shout out real quick to... shout out real quick to Stephen Clem, who says, no snowflakes PDX, you crybaby know nothings, !!
All right.
Because
all right.
Stephen Clem is big mad, apparently.
Big mad.
Big mad.
Jack Spencer says, no SROs, huh? Well, when one of your fellow students flips out and starts shooting up the school, you can just throw your books at him.
All right.
So there's some...
Wow.
All right.
Okay. A+ advice there.
Right. Thank you so much.
Wow. Okay.
Noted.
Got it. Even though SROs do not stop mass shooters. Like, time and time again, they'll have SROs at school, and they don't stop the shooter.
Right. Maybe a counselor, like, more counselors in our schools could maybe help solve some of these problems.
Especially, it's usually lonely, angry white boys that shoot up the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to profile, why don't you profile them and be like, are you okay, honey?
Are you all right?
I mean, you know, like, and I'm not reading. I know there are a lot of very, very lovely, young, lonely white boys, right? But, I mean, if we're gonna be profiling here, I mean, those are the ones that shoot up schools.
Statistically, we're not just speaking from, you know,
hatred,
the
or
air,
anything.
Or hatred, or nothing, or prejudice.
That's so, like, they, and I'm not saying police them either. I'm saying let's get them some counseling.
Help. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that was talked about
time and time again
at the school board meeting.
Is school shooters are portrayed as, you know, mentally unstable.
Oh, sure.
Or they're very troubled kids. So
help them.
So let's help them. Let's get some, I don't know, counselors, therapy.
Yeah.
And train them in restorative justice, which, by the way,
yes,
is the only difference between a regular BCOP,
yes,
and an SRO is restorative justice training.
Oh.
And Ms. Machuca, who is a social studies teacher and senior inquiry teacher at Jefferson.
Who's also the one that told us about this.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, shout out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out Eliana Machuca.
Yeah. She's the best. She went up at the board meeting and actually said she has tried to get restorative justice training like multiple times, and they either get canceled or they don't fit her schedule. So there are people who want to get restorative justice training, but they're not letting that happen, but they would rather have an SRO in our school.
It should be noted too that restorative justice training, I believe last year there was 3 opportunities a year to take that class. Whereas this year, there's only one.
Mm-hmm.
coincidentally the same year that they're trying to amend the SRO agreement.
Real interesting.
I'm not saying a setup, but I mean, it sounds like. Okay.
Yeah. Well, following the money will get you that answer.
Right.
Okay, so now, so to give people a timeline and just to update people who are just tuning in, again, this is Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator and host of The Struggle on KBOO Community Radio. We are a show that seeks to give a platform to organizers doing good work in the community to talk about their work, talk about their campaigns, and educate you and actually hopefully convince you to support them. So I'm speaking with Sarah and Sophia.
What's good?
They go to Jefferson High School, and they are in the midst of a campaign against SROs, student resource officers, just cops in public schools. And the struggle has already been hard because despite overwhelming majority against SROs at the school board voted unanimously in favor of it.
But after the vote failed the first time.
Can you talk about that?
That was very confusing to me. So they didn't pass the motion to delay the vote. And then they voted, and I believe two people abstained. They voted and it didn't pass. And then someone motioned for a revote, and then it did pass. And I don't know.
How much time passed between those two votes?
And I don't know, like, the rules with this, but somebody from the crowd was saying that that's not allowed to happen. But I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, the way that it was handled, he said he had been on, I don't know who it was either, so it might not be credible, but he was like, from the crowd, he was like, that's not allowed to happen.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we are crybaby know-nothing.
Right.
Apparently. It seems to me that an official school board meeting should be run a little more...
A little smoother.
Organized.
Yeah, sure.
It seemed really messy, the way that the vote was conducted.
Many people have said that that from our perspective, it seemed like we were ignored or not listened to. But I was talking to Ms. Calvert today, and she said that she's never seen a school board meeting run like that. That they were... They were shook by how many students were there and how many people spoke out. Like, they were not ready for that, and they were not prepared at all. So I was like, okay, maybe we made more of an impact than we initially thought we did.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
So I'm curious about, so originally the vote was no, and then some time passed, and then it was yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they called for a revote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That I mean, I can only imagine that that was someone with some money that whispered in their ear and said, guess what? This isn't going to happen.
I don't know.
That happened with Amazon in Seattle, where Shama Sawant, the socialist city councilor, got the rest of the city council to vote a majority to tax Amazon to fund affordable housing in Seattle, and they desperately need it.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted in favor. And 2 weeks after... They took their votes back and overturned it because we can guess, right? Because, you know, big shots whispered her in the ear and said, you're not doing this. And they took away that little bit of justice, right? Because they got scared, right? And I don't know that that's what happened here, if somebody whispered in the ear and they got scared. But, I mean, why would you go back on your vote if that's the case? So can you talk about the actions and the organizing since the vote against you at the school board? Like, what has it been like organizing since then?
It's been fun.
It's been
Don't lie. If it's been hurtful, painful, whatever.
Sophia's put in so much work in this. She has been the main one that, like, got this whole group together. Like, during winter break, we had, what, two meetings?
We had three meetings.
Three meetings over winter break.
With Don't Shoot Portland.
Mm-hmm. And Sophia,
shout out, Don't Shoot Portland,
organized and connected and did all this. We had people from Lincoln and Franklin and Grant. And Jeff, all there. And it was a lot of Sophia doing a lot of that hard work behind the scenes.
Well, I mean, shout out PCOC and WPOC on Facebook.
Yay.
It's actually how I kind of got all this momentum. My mom, being a woman of color, she is in, you know, these Facebook groups. They're kind of like sanctuary spaces online.
Yeah, I'm in them. They're dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really like stressing about it. I didn't want to give it up, you mm-hmm. know, and I was feeling the momentum, you know, draining.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, Mom? Let me hack your Facebook real quick. Okay. So I you know, I made this long statement. Mm-hmm. I said, anybody with children in PPS, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you have any tips, any resources, any, you know, anything that we can use to help us start up a campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of great responses. I got, you know, messages from teachers. I got messages from parents, and through that, I was able to get contact with Don't Shoot Portland.
Yes.
And once we had contact with Don't Shoot Portland, we had, you know, they offered us a space to meet mm-hmm. any students that, you know, were, this was still in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we had those meetings, and that's when we, you know, we kind of sat down. We brainstormed, kind of branded our campaign a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
made beautiful art?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that was beautiful, that
art
build.
We got a lot of guidance from them on what our next steps should be.
Right. Not to say that this is, you know, some campaign, you know, fueled by some other agenda. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
This is not their
this
thing.
Is still mm-hmm. by is students thing. Led by students.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you needed the support from somebody.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have no resources. We were a bunch of, you know.
Right. We did not kids. Know what to do.
We didn't know what the heck we were doing. We were just trying to, all we knew was that we wanted to right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What has it been like organizing or just talking to your classes? So you're the student body president, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're used to being able to speak to people across difference, mm-hmm. you know, other genders and races. Mm-hmm. And so like what have those conversations been like?
The conversation that was the most beautiful and amazing was when the representatives and Captain Hager came to the school before the vote had happened.
Mm-hmm.
During our lunch, we had like 50 kids show up, which I think was more than any of the other meetings that they had gone to, that those representatives had gone to at other PPS schools.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing everybody, like they came up with questions, like just the student body. It wasn't just seniors. It wasn't just people interested mm-hmm. in like the campaign, you know, like these are people that wanted to ask their questions
this
to these
people.
This
was before the campaign was even started.
Yeah, exactly.
These were just students who were like, what is going on?
Exactly. Sure. They just wanted to be informed. Mm-hmm. And they had the most brilliant questions ever. Like, stuff I never even thought of. Just from hearing the discussion. I don't remember.
Okay. Right.
I remember.
Okay.
We can pull up the receipts.
Like, no, they came up with like bomb questions that caught the representatives off guard. Like,
right,
off
there was
guard,
the
off guard.
Why are SROs armed? If they're in schools.
And can we unarm them?
Can we unarm them? Which, by the way, Captain Hager said...
No.
No. Just blatant
It's
no.
a part of their uniform.
It's a part of their uniform. My officers will never be unarmed.
Wow.
Yeah. Another really great question that they came up with is... at that point, we had learned that there was only one student representative on the board. And a great question that was brought up was, well, why is there only one student representative?
Yeah.
And why don't we know him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There were other questions about the conduct of SROs and what their rules are in regards to different situations with children. There were questions about...
Why? A lot of people wanted
to
know why.
And what is their job? We didn't know what their job even was before mm-hmm. this. I just knew I saw an officer in my school on B floor hallway like for 5 minutes every week that didn't talk to me.
Okay, so what is your message to students that are listening or to like parents
mm-hmm.
of students that are listening, people who know students in PPS? Let's say you want them to join the struggle.
Yes.
Like, what do you have to say to get them to join?
To DM the No SRO PDX. Twitter, Instagram, anything.
Right. There is I've been asking people on Twitter, on Instagram, to, you know, any organizations or just individuals, if you're a concerned parent, you are a leader of an organization, if you're, you know, anything, it can be anything. If you're, like, president of, like, your Latino club at your school, or if you're, you know, you're president of the Muslim Student Union at a school, you know, rally those people, see what they have to say, and if, you know, you guys decide that you want in on the fight, send you know, your letter of support to the email.
We want to hear everybody's voices. The email, everybody,
by the way, is nosros.pdx@gmail.com
Okay.
For anybody that does want to send in a letter of support, we can, you know, kind of
add a statement that they can sign off on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, is it a change.org? Or I can actually try to pull it up, because
I think Shoot Portland has it on there
their Facebook page.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a statement that organizations or just individuals can sign off on. It states what we want to do and why we're doing it and stuff along those lines.
So how many people do you want to sign the petition? But do you have a goal?
As many as possible.
Right now our goal is 5,000.
5,000. Okay, so let's say we do our part at Kabu, right? If you print out the petitions, we can actually have them here, and we can help collect the signatures.
Okay.
So if the goal is to get 5,000, and you get 5,000, what do you do with the signatures? Who do you give them to, and then what? What do you want to do?
I mean, city
council. We want to, yeah, show city council. City
council has the vote now. That's whose hands it is in now.
Well, you went to city council.
Yes.
So can you talk about what happened at city council?
Well, first and foremost, we've been trying to get the date on when they're going to vote on this. And we've called, different people have called so many different times, and we've gotten like a different date every single time. Like, so they were saying at first it was January, and then it got moved to February, and now people are hearing like maybe even early March. But we wanted to show that we had not forgotten about this as the new year started.
You read a statement on the steps of city council or city hall,
right?
The other morning,
we're originally concerned that the vote would be going through on the 2nd. And that's why we decided to, you know, to have that press conference on that day. It was also the same day that Joanne Hardesty was sworn onto the board, you know. We love Joanne.
Yes. Yeah, shout out Joanne. Yes. Congratulations. First black woman on Portland City Council.
Yes, yes. Making history. We icon. See you. We see you. We love a queen.
Right.
But we thought it would be good to get that word out of our campaign, our cause and concern on the same day that this, you know, new historical figure was being sworn onto the board.
Sure. And she gave you your support?
Yeah, she did.
Yes, on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She said she would have liked to join because she does not believe that SROs make it a safe environment to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For people that don't know, Joanne Hardesty is the long critic of Portland PD. And while many of us had hoped that she would be able to oversee the police department, she has not been delegated to that role. And that is unfortunate, but we know that she will figure out a way to do some good advocacy and some change making. Yes. So what is your call to elected officials, actually?
To vote no. Please vote no. Please listen to us. Or listen to the students in your community. Listen to the people that this is going to affect and the people of color that this is going to affect more statistically.
Absolutely. So they, at least Joanne has been in touch with you, but what about the rest of the people that are going to be voting? Have you reached out? Have they reached out? What's the communication like?
So far, it's just been over social media.
Okay.
we do plan on getting into contact with those people, you know, hopefully making a one-on-one, you know, personal connection mm-hmm. with those people. Yeah. Hopefully that can, you know, solidify
mm-hmm.
some positive change.
Get on the agenda. So if it's so when it comes up on the next agenda, you can sign up for comments.
Yeah, we call, I think, almost every Friday to ask when this is going to be on the agenda.
Excellent. Okay, I'm glad.
We're annoying.
Yeah, we're persistent, you know?
So I have a question. This is from Sarah Hobbs,
if y'all
would like a question.
Hey.
Sarah Hobbs, by the way, is an incredible activist that does suicide prevention.
That's cool.
Something that often gets swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Here and everywhere are the alarming rates of suicide, because generally the news, you know, has a pact not to report on suicides, because suicide is actually contagious. And when people find out that someone has killed themselves, and if they're dealing with that, they're actually like statistically more likely to do it themselves. Wow. So Sarah Hobbs, thank you for all of your work and for fighting for a world without suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Sarah says, question, I understand not wanting police. How do you propose school security be handled then?
We have security guards.
I love it.
She says, please take note that I'm an aunt of a student mm-hmm. at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And they were there when the shooting happened on Valentine's Day last year. So, yeah, the question of, okay, so no police, then how do you suppose security be handled?
Well, first of all, my condolences to your family.
Sarah, mm-hmm. we're sorry.
Yeah. Nobody should have to experience that. I guess, though, I would say preventative measures.
We have security guards, and actually with our security guards, they have amazing relationships with each student, or with most of the students. They mm-hmm. go out of their way to make sure they have relationships with us.
Mm.
For, like, you know, I can't speak for all schools, but I know Jefferson is like that. Speaking in general terms, I would say preventative measures.
Mm-hmm.
Like was mentioned before, a lot of staff members have, you know, come forth and said, you know, they'd be willing to take the restorative justice classes,
yes.
which are, again, the only difference between a regular BCOP and an SRO.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those are things that would be able to be talked about.
Okay.
In the future, hopefully.
Because one of our biggest things was not being informed on, like, what our options even were. We mm-hmm. weren't informed on anything, and we'd be willing to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah. You just need to be invited to it.
Right.
Yeah. It really is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And, they'll give you a million reasons why you couldn't be involved in the decision making. They'll even go as far as letting you be on an exploratory board or research committee or something. But you will die in committee. That's the point.
Yeah.
When I went to Portland State University, there was a campaign called Disarm PSU,
mm-hmm.
and it was a fight to keep security from being armed, and that fight was lost. And one of the things that we said was, we know that the armed security is going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be a black person.
Mm-hmm.
And
guess what happened?
It happened. Rest in peace, Jason Washington. So I want to just reach out to his family and say that we won't forget, and the fight is not over. I'm afraid that something similar might happen at Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the why should we think that the training is that much better that they won't
mm-hmm.
you know, like,
what kind of
guarantee is
right
there?
It was repeated multiple times by Captain Hager and by people on the board that just that it should be scary to us to have regular police officers in our school. They continued to say, like, almost implying that worse things will happen if it's a regular police officer. Like, you would rather have an SRO mm-hmm. than a police officer. Yeah, and I right. was like, you're saying that about at your the, own department?
Sure.
At like, the board, at the school board meeting that day, after Captain Hager said the statement that I quoted earlier, when she said that the program was something that the Portland Public or the Portland Police Bureau could cut to save costs.
Mm-hmm.
She also said, however, I feel with almost certainty that if SROs were taken out of schools, some of the fears would be realized.
Yes, yes. And we all said, what?
What do you, like, what does that mean? What?
Maybe you should train all police officers. She was referring to
the fears of us, of the students.
Brutality, of police brutality.
The fears of police brutality is the fears that Captain Hager was addressing. Yikes. And she said, without SROs, these fears will quickly be realized. Mm-hmm.
And this was echoed by members on the board.
Right, and that was said in front of members of the board, in front of the student representatives that gave testimony about her own department, about her officers.
What? So maybe we should rethink the training on all officers then.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe all officers should have restorative justice training.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So please talk about student walkouts.
Okay. We've gotten some mixed responses about even just going to City Hall. The City Hall wasn't really a walkout. That was just a few representatives from a few schools that wanted to be a part of the press conference. Mm-hmm. And there were comments saying kids will do anything to get out of school. And it's like, you'd really devalue our movement like that?
Oh,
like, truly just devalue the whole thing. Wait, what was the question?
Well, just talk about that, like, student walkouts as a tactic as a possibility.
Okay, so we most definitely, like 100%, want to gather as much momentum as we can to hold a walkout on the day that it's being voted on, because so many students care about this. This is crucial to our learning environment. Mm-hmm. So we want to get as many schools as possible to not only walk out, but to be in the meeting.
Oh,
we want to hold that space.
City council.
Yes, in the city council meeting where this vote is happening. We want to hold that space and be there and be a powerful presence, you know, because we have not forgotten. And we're never going to stop caring about this.
People will be there to support you. I'll tell you that.
Yes, okay.
People have been chomping at the bit to support y'all. They really have. So, if you build it, they will come, right? If you struggle, people will support you.
Yeah, and teachers are completely on board for this. We have so many teachers that ask us every day, how can we support you? What are you guys' next steps? Do you guys need any help?
Have you been to any of the teachers union meetings?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, they had meetings.
They do. And I almost want to... You know what? I'm not even going to pretend here. I know that a lot of PAT members are my friends. If any of you are listening, the Portland Association of Teachers, it's their union.
Ooh, I've been active with them on Twitter.
Yeah, I want to say get on their agenda for their next meeting and actually get it on the record, because you want to be careful when you're just having an in-person conversation or on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm saying you shouldn't, you know. But when you're dealing with somebody, you're not quite sure whether or not this person already has your back.
Yeah.
You might want to get whatever they say on the record so that you can hold them accountable if they violate you in the future. So shout out to Sophia's mom, Lisette, who just brought some tacos to the studio. Lisette, we love you.
Ma, you're the plug.
Yes, thank you.
We were starving, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Oh, where are these from?
I actually have no idea. She didn't tell me where exactly she was going.
Okay.
Can we eat them now or should we wait?
Move the bag. Okay, thank you. So I want y'all to think about now. Let's say that the city council has you, right? And they let you have your time on the mic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're considering it What are you going to say to the city council?
We'll probably craft another statement. Yeah. But we're going to
like, all off the top of your head, like, yeah. What?
Okay.
Like, let's say you're looking at me. I'm Chloe Udaly.
Okay.
Gazing at you with nothing but love, of course.
Love and support.
Yes. We actually have some bomb statistics. We looked through the Portland... Oh, this is sensitive information.
Okay, we'll skip that.
Okay. So let's say we have done some...
Let's just say you've done research.
Yes, right? We have done a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we have some numbers that we can pull out real fast mm-hmm. at the meeting to prove that this is going to be detrimental to specifically students of color's learning mm-hmm. in the building.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our next moves?
Yeah.
We're gathering the receipts.
Yep.
And we're taking them to City Hall.
Yep.
We're going to say, look, here are the facts that we have.
Please don't do this.
Okay.
Here are also, you know, the gathered feelings of students.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I've actually, we've been gathering statements.
Oh, good.
From you know,
the first thing we did was make a survey.
Good.
That right. got, like, hundreds of students' responses.
We have a statement on behalf of the Jefferson student body
mm-hmm.
That... people, you know, that the student body signed off on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a statement from our Latino club. I know several other, you know, BSUs and Muslim student unions mm-hmm. and groups like that have, of students.
Mm-hmm, sure.
At schools besides Jefferson.
Because
mm-hmm. this isn't just about us.
Mm-hmm.
That have also signed off on. But
it'll probably impact you the most. You have the most black and brown people.
Yeah,
right.
But, so it only makes sense that you'd be leading the fight. But I think that students that go to other schools really need to think about taking your leadership and your example and doing similar surveys where they're at. So yes. People who are listening, if you know students at other, is it just high schools that would have SROs?
It's everybody has SROs.
Everybody. Yeah. So
like
if
the
you
feeder schools that go into the high school.
Right. My little sisters have SROs.
How old are they?
They are 9 and 7. Who actually, I've been including them in the movement. They've been to every rally.
Yes,
they've
they
been. Oh, I saw them on a city hall. They're so cute.
Yeah. Yes. Real quick, shout out Mi Sabor Taco Truck for the food. These are
oh, Mi Sabor. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, okay. Excellent. Okay. Wow. So yeah, everybody go there and get yourself some tacos. What are we having? What are these ones?
These are carnitas and al pastor.
Okay, boom. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's what you would say to the city council if you were up there?
That's what I would say.
Okay.
And then I would try to hit on the other most important note is that y'all have a school board that is not working for the actual students.
What are you going to do about that?
What are they going to do about that? Right? They better come up with something because what's happening now is not working.
I'm going to say, I want to elect new officials onto the school board.
Boom.
Whoa.
Right off the gate.
Okay.
Not to put anybody on the spot, but Paul Anthony.
Whoa.
Well, you said it. Well, go ahead. Finish.
I feel strongly that he needs to be elected off of the board. I mean... not only the fact that he blatantly disregard our, you know, our plea to listen to what we have to say, but also just his history. I remember last year he was asked to step down because he refused to work with several women of color. Not only that, Okay. Not only that, you know, he's
said many problematic things. So he said problematic things at the school board meeting. You could hear the whole crowd go,
Are the meetings recorded? Is it?
Yes, I have one of the videos up on our Instagram right and now. Like, he said,
oh, you can hear it through his microphone.
Plug your Instagram one more time so that people can see the video.
No SROs, PDX. Go watch the video of Paul Anthony saying, and I quote, "Black kids and shotguns are a great mix."
Yeah, talking about Jefferson High School.
It should be
you
noted.
You can hear the whole crowd go, no.
It should be noted that this is the school board member that is supposed to speak for Benson, Jefferson,
no.
and Madison.
Boom.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. Yeah, be sure to bring that to the council. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
I mean, that's just the tea, kind of.
Right.
We need new board members who accurately represent us.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not, at least listen to what we have to say.
And making sure that they're actively, and, well, they always say they're actively trying to get our feedback and our voices heard, but it's not genuinely and actually happening. So maybe practices that can be put in place to ensure 100% that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And to maybe get more representatives on the school board. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And for those of you who want to say, you know, they've been trying, they did this and that. Listen, we would not have started this campaign if that was the case.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For years it's been like this.
If they were doing enough, we wouldn't be sitting in these chairs right now. And this is not a new thing.
No. Nope.
I spoke to several people,
mm-hmm.
and have been interviewed actually with them who tried to start up a similar campaign a couple years ago.
At your school?
No, not at my school. Oh, at like Grant? Other schools.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, yeah, y'all are in good company. I mean, students are doing this all over the country,
mm-hmm.
so y'all are not alone.
Right.
It's the thing is that what it takes to win against the police is so monumental because they're so supported by people who are afraid.
Yeah.
That and these are people that have not experienced discrimination.
Yes.
Or misconduct by the police, or they haven't seen it happen to people who they love. So, you know, they still believe that they're there to protect and serve.
Yeah.
And the mood is turning against that, right? The movement for Black Lives has changed the game.
Yes.
In terms of people's understanding about what and who the police actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a slow struggle. It's not happening quickly enough. But I will say that I'm inspired by young people who are taking it up. I think this is a very, very important frontier. And y'all already know that you're not alone because you've already had actions where people from the community were able to show up,
mm-hmm.
and support. And I know that if you call on people again, they will show up for, mm-hmm. you, and the numbers will grow.
Yes.
So with that, I was hoping that y'all could talk about the politics around the school to prison pipeline.
I think the SROs just perpetuate that so horribly. And that's not something that's talked about by the people that are in support of it. They're just like, oh, these people are here to protect you. And I'm like, you're creating this mindset and this policing environment in a school. In a school. That's not okay. That's never been okay.
Right, I'm here to learn. I'm not here to be constantly monitored. Not only that, if you look into the... Okay, so there was a study by the ACLU which was cited in the speech that I gave, mm-hmm. at the press conference on Wednesday.
The American Civil Liberties Union,
yes,
ACLU.
The ACLU. Shout out.
They've been great
supporters.
There
was a study, I believe it was 20, I believe it was 26. I can pull up the file really quick.
You could go look at
it. It's okay. The numbers are not important, but what was the message?
The message was that there was, you know, a disproportionate rate of people who were referred to, you know, criminal justice because these, you know, incidents that the SROs are called in, mm-hmm. for, they're logged, you know? And the people that were referred, you know, hey, keep a lookout for this student to, you know, the, yes. criminal justice system.
Yes.
Because these names are being logged. You know, every single student that has a run-in with an SRO, these, mm-hmm. names are being logged.
Yes.
I think it was 26% of those that were referred were students with disabilities, despite the fact that,
oh, no.
that yes. schools are only made up of 14% of people with disabilities.
Right.
So that they can get them out of the school.
The statistics are so disproportionate. And as Joanne said in her statement, I believe she said,
Joanne Hardesty, the new city councilor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She said that school is supposed to be a place where you can make mistakes and learn from them and grow from them. And with this, that's not how it's going to work.
Right.
At all.
Right. Wow. Thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Really. It's so important because for people who have students that are not already marked,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not at risk,
mm-hmm.
is one of their favorite terms. then, you know, actually, your kids might actually be being protected. But the at what cost?
Yeah.
The cost is that kids that are experiencing problems that they have no control over are being targeted.
Yes.
And it's through that targeting that they end up being ushered into the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
And into the prison system.
Yes.
And oftentimes what you'll hear from people who advocate for prisons and filling them up, right, to put away the bad people, right, is that, well, if we had a functional education system, we wouldn't have so many prisoners. And I say, well, that's where we agree, you know. If we had a functional education system that turned out people who did not immediately fall into poverty,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, maybe people wouldn't be so vulnerable as to be able to be criminalized and then put into the prison system. So I agree with you there, but I know that that's not where they're going with that, right? Because those people that advocate for prisons to be filled and for prison numbers to swell, what they don't also advocate for is for school budgets to be robust and that students get everything that they need. So, you know, you should call that out.
I think a lot of the other things are, you know, some of the reasoning that board member Paul Anthony, great guy, we love him.
Our favorite.
Please step down. Oh! when oh. asked,
and
when
I thank
asked
you.
Why SROs are needed, why he thinks SROs are needed, he said, well, what are school counselors to do about little girls who are being pimped for meth? Then he continued to say, what is a school counselor to do for a little boy who's being molested? Then he continued to say,
this came out of his mouth. I can 100% say,
this is a huge epidemic. I have met many of them. And I ask you, Paul Anthony, knowing those are problems, what are you doing to take down this epidemic?
Paul Anthony.
What are you doing to ensure, maybe instead of help after a child is already being molested, helping after people are already being supposedly pimped for meth? Instead of, you know, putting police in schools to help them after the fact, what are you doing to prevent?
Yeah.
I think a lot of these problems, you know, just like you were saying, if we don't want people criminalized so much, well, teach them right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Put the funding into the right things.
Yeah. Yes, and that's one of the things that we're really stressing. It's like, this much money is going in.
Oh, funding priorities.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I'm like, at Jefferson High School, I swear, we still do not have clean water.
Nope.
We have one water fountain that works. We have holes in the walls. We have leaky ceilings.
Rats.
We still have asbestos. So where's the money for that?
Oh. Right.
We don't even have a safe learning environment.
It's not just Jefferson, right?
Oh, yeah, it's not just
schools. It's all these schools. My little sister's, their school is still asbestos and lead contaminated.
What school?
Woodlawn.
Oh, my God.
So where is the money for that? Why can't we not be using the money for, like, us being healthy in a learning space first?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the most important step.
So fund healthy schools.
Yes, please.
Fund instruction, mm-hmm. not cops.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so one last pitch. Go ahead.
And new school board members.
Oh. You just sealed it with a kiss. Okay, so one last pitch to everyone that's listening to support you. Tell them what they need to know to support you.
They need to know no SROs, PDX, if you want the students in your community's voices to be heard.
I guess I would say dang. I want to say a lot.
To students, let's say there are other students who are listening. What's your message?
All right, to students, organize and talk with your peers, for sure.
That's beautiful.
Then reach out to us, and you know, we want you to be part of the organization.
Yes.
To the adults, listen to your kids.
Mm. Yes.
To the city, watch if you know, even if you're not a student, even if you don't have students in PPS, even if you don't know anybody with a student in PPS, you pay taxes. Watch where your money's going.
Hey. Boom.
Okay. Then we walked back to the road, unchained.
KBOO Community Radio is the proud co-sponsor of the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on his birthday, Tuesday, January 8th. Come ride your bike around Portland with Diablo as we celebrate the life and music of David Bowie with a mobile dance party and sing-along. Again, that's the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride at 8 p.m. on January 8th at the corner of Southwest Broadway and Main in downtown Portland near the Schnitzer. More information can be found on the KBOO website under Community Events.
They, in a certain sense, de-emphasize, choose to de-emphasize